Another edition of the Jacob Bund Show has begun. An athletic director has been fired in the SEC since we talked last. Damon Evans, the first African-American athletic director in the conference, very revered AD around the country. On Wednesday night of last week, he was pulled over by Georgia police and arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. In addition to that, there was a female, 28-year-old Courtney Furman, who was found to be in his front seat. And he apparently it was midnight with a 28-year-old female who was not his wife. Interesting thing is, when Evans was pulled over, he repeatedly referred to his position at the school before being arrested. He said, "I'm not trying to bribe you, but I am the athletic director at the University of Georgia." The athletic director at the University of Georgia trying to bribe someone with his position. Ms. Furman said to the officer, "Just to let you know, it will be erased because he is the athletic director of Georgia and he has that power." She was charged with disorderly conduct after police said she repeatedly ignored warnings to stay inside the 2009 BMW. He was about to sign a $550,000 a year contract with the Bulldog Athletic Department. Again, he has been dismissed. The president of Georgia, Michael Adams, the University of Georgia, asked for his resignation, and he gave it to him. So now, Frank Crumley, who was the executive associate athletic director for finance, has been promoted to the position of interim athletic director. Now, how does this affect the Georgia football program? That's what we all want to know. Well, he was an advocate of Mark Richt, one of the strongest voices for Richt in Athens, and with the ever decreasing amount of supporters for Mr. Richt, that'll be a big loss for him. But Mark Richt, he knows what he has to do. He has to get on the field with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville and beat him. That's what he has to do to keep his job and not slip up anywhere else. He has to get to Atlanta to keep his job. But does this not kind of diminish the Georgia program, football program? I know it's not the Georgia, we're not talking about a Georgia football player coach, but does this not diminish the goody-goody perception that he's trying to paint of the Georgia program?
To me, it's just he's trying to do something. He's painting the image. He's able to do it. But when you look at his players are unable to reach the high standards. The quarterback that got kicked off this past spring is a second DUI, and he's not learning. So he's holding these players, these high standards, they're failing to meet that. I don't know if it's the type of athlete he is recruiting, or if it's just he has unreasonably high standards.
David Sears on the other side of the glass right now commenting, yeah, I agree. And
I don't think it's as much of the high standards as if he's not making them adhere to it. Like with Saban, I think the players respect Saban.
Right.
I think they also fear Saban. I don't think Richt has their respect or their fear.
Well, and that's where I was going next. Across the way, the state to his west, there is Nick Saban. Every team can't win the national championship every year. Only one can. But the SEC has had a lot of success in the last decade, and it's been shared with different teams, LSU, Florida, and Alabama, and Georgia is one of the biggest names in the conference, and so their fans feel like they should be sharing in this success nationally as well, and they're not.
2008 was supposed to be their year.
Mm-hmm.
They struggled a little bit with South Carolina, and they lost the number one ranking, and then the embarrassment of the blackout versus Alabama. Then they got embarrassed again against Florida. And it was also, remember, Georgia Tech ran rampant on them. They couldn't stop the option attack. In between
a middling Georgia Tech team.
So that that was when he got the Heat started to crank up. Last year they go 8-5. They rebound against a mediocre Texas A&M team in the Independence Bowl. Because who loves to be in Shreveport, Louisiana more than SEC fans, right?
Well, I think Alabama fans had, while Mike Shula was the coach, just basically taken up residence there. And Georgia, I just don't see, and this is just me personally, I just don't see Mark Richt taking it to the next level. He's won a couple SEC championships. 2005 and 2002 were the two. They beat Arkansas in 2002 and LSU, I believe, in 2005 in the championship game. And they did win two championships, SEC championships, of course. But I'm talking national championship. They did beat Hawaii, though.
That wasn't a matchup. That was an execution. They were wearing their blackout jerseys because they're the executioners in that.
But the state of the Georgia program right now, I think they can be a big-time program. I think they can be a Florida, an Alabama.
They were under Dooley. They were a perennial power under Dooley. They kind of tried to fill the role of Alabama mm-hmm. after the Bear left as the dominant program of the SEC.
But you can't diminish the success he's had either.
I think he's had double-digit wins 6 of his 9 seasons.
Well, I mean, pretty much every year he rolls out a 8, 9, 10, 11-win season. He's a pretty good coach on the field, but occasionally he will just get absolutely blown out. Tennessee, a couple years ago, went into Sanford Stadium and just absolutely tore him apart.
He struggled with Fulmer towards Fulmer's end. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's correct.
And then you alluded to the Alabama. I mean, nobody's going to forget that. If you have to point to one game in Mark Richt's career that was defining and may be the prime upsetting factor for the fan base, it has to be that 2008 Alabama smackout. Okay,
he's been to 3 BCS games, 3 Sugar Bowls. He's 2-1, beat Florida State back in the 2003 Sugar Bowl, lost to West Virginia in the 2006 Sugar Bowl, then beat Hawaii in the 2008 Sugar Bowl, destroyed Hawaii 41-10. But, I mean, he's got a good bowl record, 7-2 overall. But Jim Donnan had a good bowl record, too. He was 4-0 overall.
Well, good point. What do you think he needs to do to keep his job?
Anything less than an SEC championship game appearance? Mm-hmm. Well, that's secondary. He needs to beat Florida this year.
Right.
He has to beat Florida this year because he's basically been Urban Meyer's little chew toy.
Right.
And he needs to do something that's not gimmicky. He doesn't need the whole team on the field. He doesn't need the blackouts or the black helmets or the black pants. Just get out there, win the game. Forget gimmicks.
But that becomes such a staple at Georgia. We'll miss the Richt fashion design show weekly on CBS, narrated by Vern Lundquist. Yeah, the football team running onto the field a couple years ago. Do you think the fan base really likes that?
Some do, but I think the old school Georgia fans do not.
Does that do anything for him? Does the blackout?
It does stuff for the younger fans, and you know you're always trying to get that recruit with like, look at this cool stuff we have. I mean, I think they even had like, didn't they do a? Was it them that had a little dog pound dance or something that they did on the sidelines? I mean, he's a good recruiter. He's getting talent in there, but he's not capitalizing on
right.
it. I mean, if you can get the greatest talent in the world, but he's a good coordinator. I don't know if he's a good head coach.
Right.
Richt's overall record's 90-27. He's been the head coach since 2001. Was this going into his 10th season? So he's averaging about He's about 9-3 a season.
If you presented that blind resume to a number of schools, mid-level schools, we're not talking about Alabama, Florida, Texas, the big names. If you presented that to those mid-level BCS conference schools, 9 out of 10 of them are going to take that. 90-20, 3 BCS appearances, and 3 conference championship games. Don't you think most of them are going to take that?
They will, but that's because they expect mediocrity. In Georgia, they're expecting. Vince Dooley set the bar high. It's like at Alabama. Bear Bryant set that bar high. Few coaches were able to get it. Stallings was able to get there.
Yeah.
According to the NCAA, he didn't average 10 years because they took away all those 10 victories a year. But Saban is establishing the attitude that we are going to be winners at Alabama and that we are going to dominate a team for 60 minutes. Richt is kind of like, hey, what's up, yo? Let's go out there and play a good game. We can take them. And, hey, let's put on some alternate color stuff and just look real cool with that. That doesn't get the job done. Urban Meyer's got that killer instinct. Nick Saban's got that killer instinct. Spurrier used to have a killer instinct. He's kind of mellowed in his old age at South Carolina.
Right.
But I just don't see the killer instinct in Mark Richt.
Well, this year will definitely be the year to define that. Let's talk about someone who you just mentioned, Steve Spurrier, for a minute. He's going into his sixth season as the head coach at the University of South Carolina. He is supposedly having his best team ever on the field this year. What does he have to prove? What does he have to do to satisfy? Now, not that he's going to get fired, but there are going to be a lot of grumbling people out there if he doesn't win this year. What does he have to win, though?
He needs to be better than competitive. He needs at least a 10-win season. He has yet to do that at South Carolina. He needs he's been to New Year's Day bowls,
yeah,
but he needs to go to a bowl that is better than the Outback Bowl type bowl. I mean, nothing against the Outback. Tampa's a beautiful place to play, especially would you rather be in Columbia, South Carolina, or Tampa Bay, Florida, right, on New Year's Day.
Oh, absolutely.
But he needs to go a Sugar Bowl or maybe a sit or a, was it? No, it's not CompUSA.
Capital
what
One.
Is it? Capital One, yeah. Bowl. Thank you. But he needs to do a higher tier bowl game.
I think he has the players in place to have a good season, but look at who he has to play.
He's got a lot of talent this year. Tennessee's down. Vanderbilt's down. Who knows what to expect with Joker Phillips at Kentucky.
Right.
So he needs to finish at least third. He's got a shot at taking out Georgia. I think it's in Columbia this year.
Yes, it is.
So he's got a favorite. He's got his roughest home game or roughest road game, I think, is Auburn.
Because
he's got Florida,
well, he has,
Alabama,
no,
and
Florida.
Georgia coming there.
Florida on the road this year.
Oh, it's at Florida?
Mm-hmm.
So his roughest road game is going to be Auburn and Florida. Other than that, he should go maybe 9-3 at the worst.
Yeah. Well, but you just mentioned it, though. The Western opponents at Auburn, Alabama at home, and Arkansas at home. Arkansas is supposed to be an improved team this year.
It all depends on if Ryan Mallett's foot has healed or not. They had no defense. They've yet to have a defense under Petrino. Until they get a defense, you can put up all the offensive numbers in the world.
They're very spotty. You're right.
But okay, let's look at Spurrier's record. First year, 2005, 7-5, tied for second in the East, 5-3 conference record. 2006, 2007, 3-5 in conference. Didn't go to a bowl in 2007 because they decided to take Alabama over South Carolina to the Independence.
Right.
They both finished 6-6. 2008, 7-6, lost the Outback Bowl. 2009, 7-6, got destroyed by UConn.
Mm-hmm.
In the PapaJohns.com Bowl.
Right.
I mean, he's 35-28 overall,
yeah,
at South Carolina, an 18-22 in conference. This is not the Steve Spurrier,
no,
that dominated the SEC back at Florida, where his worst season at Florida was 9-4.
I agree. And this is going to be the crucial year for him. He's not going to get fired. South Carolina is not going to fire him.
But South Carolina overall, though, it's a history of mediocrity. They have, was it Sterling Sharp is their Heisman winner? Or is it Sterling or Shannon? Either way, I mean, it's one of the Sharp brothers.
Right, yes.
So they don't really have much to go for. They've got a great atmosphere. It's a great stadium.
It is. They sell it out.
Very loud. I think it only sold like 56,000 or, mm-hmm, 60,000. So it's going to be a good stadium, good atmosphere. They'll be there regardless of the ability of,
right,
the football team. But they have a very good potential of crashing and burning this year.
Well, just look at the schedule. I mean, you nailed it a minute ago. Georgia and at Auburn. If they get to the open week, which is week 5, they play Southern Miss, Georgia at home, Furman at Auburn. If they get to that open week without a blemish, then we can talk big dreams for the Gamecock fans. If they don't, then it's going to be the same as it has been.
I mean, the school's all-time records, 534 and 535 with 44 ties. So they're one game under 500,
right,
as a football program. So it's not like they're basically a 500 football team. That's their history. That's what they're going to do. So they keep aspiring for great things, but they're not going to get it.
No, they're not. And it's partly because if they played in the ACC, do I think they would fare well? I do. What do you think?
If they're in the ACC, heck, they'd be division champions, yeah, especially last year when no one wanted to win it.
Of course, we're spoiled. Alabama, Florida, who win every game and then get to the championship game. ACC, teams losing to get in.
But that's a whole other day of topics.
It is. And they just signed a new contract with ESPN so that ESPN doesn't ever have to show an ACC. I mean, they're going to reach a 12-year deal with the ACC that would give the network exclusive rights of the conference football and men's basketball games, which men's basketball is a big draw, too, in the ACC.
ACC is a basketball conference. ACC and Big East are basketball conferences. They've got the courtesy BCS invitation, but let's face it, they live off their basketball revenue. They don't care about their football.
Well, we've dissected half the conference in this edition of the Jacob Bunn Show. We will continue to do so. David Sears giving us his input. We will have another show next week as we continue our countdown to SEC media days. We're not even down to football yet. We're still counting down to media days. That's how we roll, though, in this part of the country. Anyway, I've done enough damage today. We will be back with you next week on the Jacob Bunn Show.